Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Okay, this is Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Live Radio 107.5 Ibadan. And as usual, it's a lovely Sunday. And of course, as usual, I have one of the very nice guests who is going to talk to us about another interesting topic. And as you all know, as a psychologist, I try as much as possible to bring about behavioral modification, which in my last pursuit is to bring about a change in mindset. And that is why I have a lot of discussions around this. And we look at things from a different perspective on how people look at things. Today on Real Talks with Lola, I have a very good friend of mine who is a Nigerian in diaspora. I'm very proud of who she is, who she has become, and who she's actually becoming more and more every day. She's a medical doctor by profession, but she's gone into, would I say, a lot of different other things, which people would be very intrigued to find out, because as we all know, the medical profession is a very noble profession, and then you'd wonder how such a person goes into different things. What she's just trying to show us is the way she views life in different lenses. Hi, Pero, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Pero. And thanks for being on my program. Like I said, the Real Talks with Lola, we try to deal with real life issues. And when I say real life issues, I look at issues that people will definitely and sometimes try to shy away from, issues that we try not to talk about. And while I'm even on this, Real Talks with Lola is going to be going on an app called Gist House, and it will be very easy for us to talk about some issues and topics that cannot be discussed on radio. I'll give my listeners more info into that. So, Pero, can you quickly tell us a little bit about yourself before we go into the topic of today?
Okay, well, you know, the way you said my name shows, it tells me how long you've known me, which is my name. I was Pero. Now I am Adekwero Metabel Okolaja, Mehetabel Okolaja. And I always boast and I say that I'm the only Ijebu girl that I know that has a Hebrew name. And Adekwero means one who has brought solution or peace or the antidote to a situation. And it's normally given to the first daughter of a king in Ijebu land. Most people who are called Pero are from Ijebu. If you say your name is Pero, you automatically have localized yourself to Ijebu, to being Ijebu. And my middle name is Mehetabel, which means God's favor, which was a name that God gave me. He said, call yourself favored, for I have favored you. And paradoxically, I thought that that meant that my life would now be like jollofing all the way down the road. But it's actually a name that God gave me to help me to remember that I am favored. And my last name is Okolaja. I am a physician and I am a poet. I am an author. I am a speaker. I am a singer. I love interior decorating. But my primary areas of interest right now are practicing my profession, which is one of my passions. I live in Minnesota. I live in Minnesota in the city of Eden Prairie, and I work in a place called Edina. I own my own practice. The name of my practice is called The Doctor's House. And the premise behind The Doctor's House is that I want my office to be like a home, that you come to speak to your doctor and you feel very comfortable and very safe. And God has been very good to help me to start that business. And I'm mostly involved in not the general kind of medicine, but integrative medicine, which is taking into account not only the prescribed Western way of doing things, but also bringing in other alternative means, vitamin supplements, and other disciplines to help with keeping people well. Now, I always say that I don't have sick patients. I have patients who are well, but who are dealing with diseases and managing them and going on with their lives. The other area of interest that I have right now is my music. music, and I've been doing a little bit of recording and intend to do a lot more. I've had two singles out, and there's one that's going to be coming out very soon. Yes, I have five siblings. There's six of us in total. My parents are still alive and doing well by God's grace. And that's about it in a nutshell. Would you like to know? What else would you like to know?
No. Apparently, before we went on air, it was so funny because a lot of people have been like calling in and like, oh, today's going to be very interesting. We can't wait to hear talk. And I was like, you know what? For me, you've been, the name Metabel, I think it actually suits you because you are really God's favor, because you've actually shown, you know, for me, that whatever you try to do, you're not allowing anything to hold you down. And that is one of the things we're going to be discussing today, you know, and that's why I chose the topic, looking at life from different lenses. You understand? And what are we trying to teach the audience? We all know, basically, as a medical doctor, you are mostly looked at on the borderline of being nerds. You understand? It's strictly like a strict kind of way of life. I'm being honest. You have tried of kind of broken that myth for me, because I know you. I see you. I see your psychedelic way of doing things, you know. And you said the doctor's house that you run, which is very important, is that you've made sure that it's not all about, you know, you've made medicine or practice more easier. You know, it's not like I'm going to see my doctor, then I must be ill. You understand? It's like you're going home to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. So, and I know you're a motivational speaker. So mm-hmm. there must be something in there in you. So now, the first question I'm going to ask you before we go straight on is, as a Nigerian in diaspora, okay, what has been one of the setbacks for you to thrive in what you're doing right now?
Setbacks? Nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Nothing. Why is that?
Well, the thing is this, if anyone knows me, they will know primarily that I'm a Christian. And I'm born again. And I know that that term has a negative connotation for a lot of people and leaves a bad taste in some people's mouths. But for me, it was actually what changed my life. Because I was on a trajectory that would not have ended up where I am right now. It may have ended up somewhere else. Good, bad, or ugly, I don't know. But I am here right now. And it's like when I was coming to the United States of America, I was frustrated in Nigeria, I will tell you that. But it wasn't a professional frustration. It was a frustration with, this is what I came to after years of therapy. It was a frustration with the fact that the world that I was educated in was not the world that I eventually got to live in as an adult. And I will explain. I was born in Lagos. I lived in GRA, went to Grange International School, which is like a mini England in Nigeria. I spoke Yoruba by default because our housemaids in those days helped us to cheat my daddy's edict that there would be no Yoruba in the house. And that's one of the only reasons why we speak Yoruba and my cousins and other people that came and the older people. And I went through school as a British person living in Nigeria. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on that, but the fact is that my first shock was when I went to high school. I went to Methodist Girls High School in Yaba, and going from Grange to Methodist Girls High School was a shock in and of itself. And then I went from there to university, to a new university, Ogun State University, and it was very rugged. It was extremely rugged. And it was hard for me to adapt to it, but I made it because I had friends and I had people who were like me. And then I graduated and I went back to Lagos. And I'd always yearned for that world that I lived in when I was in Grange, where we read about Enid Blyton's book, The Faraway Enchanted Forest, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and all that stuff. And so now I was working. I was working, and my parents and my family tried to perpetuate that myth for me. I had a little car that I was driving around at that time, and my car got stolen. And when my car got stolen, the very reality and the shock, and I was very sheltered, I must say that, the shock of having to now, you know, and please don't take me as some kind of bougie person or something, but imagine a 20, 20, 21, 22-year-old who has never done this before, now having to struggle and go into Molue and take taxis to work, and just my whole little world, my whole little bubble was shattered. And years later was how I got to know that my mind was always trying to recreate that time. And so when my car got stolen, I said, I'm done. I'm leaving this country. But because I'm a Christian, I prayed. And I said, God, I want to leave this country. And this is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And he said to me, when do you want to leave? And that was in May. And I flipped the calendar and I thought 6 months is enough to prepare to get out of this country. And I said, I want to leave on November the 5th. Specific date. And so God said, it is done. There were a number of things that I had, conversations that I had with God at that time. And I'm a person that I believe that you have to speak to God and you have to hear him speak back to you. And at that time, it was kind of funny. It wasn't an audible voice, but I could hear it. And without making this story long, I left Nigeria on the 5th of November, 1994, to come to the United States of America. So I believe that God led me here. And it was that confidence, because the promise I also extracted from him was that I would never spend one day in this country as an illegal alien. And I never did.
Yeah.
And it took me 10 years to get my green card, but God was faithful. He kept his word. So along the ways, have I had challenges? Oh, absolutely. But not enough, nothing to make me, to limit me in any way. Because God has always been with me, and I always ask him questions. Even my residency program, they told me that it was impossible for me to get into that kind of residency program. And as I was walking in, I just heard a voice inside me saying, this is where you're going to do your residency. And it was done. Have I had challenges? Absolutely. But have I been limited? Absolutely not.
Okay. I'm happy you brought up this particular topic. And as all of us as professionals in Nigeria, as professionals and Nigerians, like I would say, you know, do you believe that one of the limiting things that I noticed I don't know if it happened to you, you left because your car was stolen, and you left because you had a different kind of mindset. You already knew you wanted something that you were yearning for, and you didn't get it in Nigeria. But do you believe that sometimes most professionals in Nigeria, maybe when they go overseas, they are thrown into something like an moment of this is how it should be. And that is why I would use the word, maybe that's why we have a lot of brain drain. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. This brings to mind one of my first experiences as an intern. And they told me to go and set an IV line. And I'll speak about two instances. They told me to go and set an IV line. And I went into the storeroom and I brought out a needle. And I brought out a straight needle. I brought out a straight needle and a cannula and a bag and everything. And I wanted to set the line. And the nurse said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting in a line. With a needle? No, we don't use needles. We use cannulae. I said, in my world, we use needles. And we tape it to the strategic angle. We tape it well. And the needle stays in there for sometimes 3 days. The woman looked at me like I was an alien. And that was when I realized that we're not supposed to be setting IV lines with needles. We're supposed to use cannulae. So I'd never, I hadn't seen it before I left Nigeria. I hadn't. When I came back, I saw it, but I hadn't seen it before I left. And I was in, I did my residency at Luth. So it wasn't like I did my residency in, or I said my housemanship, sorry. It wasn't like I was in some backwater place, you know, not knocking any backwater place, because I lived in a backwater place in the United States for many years here too. But, you know, and that's the difference between here and the United States. What is available to the most sophisticated city, to some extent, is available to the most rural communities, you know. Mm. So that was the first thing. The second thing was that I was on call on the medical floor the first night, and a nurse called me and said, oh, this patient has chest pain. And I said, well, give him Tylenol. And she said, I quote her, honey, you better get your butt out into this room because this guy is having a heart attack. I said, okay. And I got up. I went to the room. I'd never seen a heart attack. I'd never. So he has chest pain, give him Tylenol. He has chest pain, give him ibuprofen. So those are some of the big discrepancies I experienced firsthand. And it was like a, oh my goodness. And when we're talking about it, I was a pediatrician before, I was studying to be a pediatrician before I left Nigeria, because I felt that in adult medicine, everybody died. Today, I am an internist. I also did pediatrics because I did a double residency, medicine and pediatrics. I couldn't decide which one I wanted. And because I'm a little bit schizophrenic by nature, I did two residency programs. But because the West, being in America, opened my eyes to the fact that not everybody in internal medicine dies, I changed my specialty and changed the trajectory of my life. If I had stayed in Nigeria, I would have become a pediatrician. With being in the United States of America, I'm an internist. I'm a pediatrician also, but I'm primarily an internal medicine and adult medicine doctor. And my patients rarely die.
Wow. That's good to hear. And I mean, I would say that's very proudly Nigerian. Now, I know you are into a lot of things. You are into, I know you're into music, which we're going to talk about later. And I know that you are a motivational speaker. Now, my question is, you've seen life. I mean, you're not young. You've seen life in different ways. Okay. And one of the things I noticed, and which I want you to put your say into it, is sometimes you've gone into music, you've gone into speaking, you've gone into so many other things. As a parent and as an adult, I think sometimes we as Africans, let me use the word Africans or Nigerians, we kind of limit ourselves unknowingly, without us knowing. I mean, we unknowingly limit ourselves. For example, people, you have a passion for music. I've noticed. It's something you've loved. But I'm very sure. Do you think if you had stayed back in Nigeria, do you think you would have continued? Would you have chased this passion of yours?
Yes, I think so. I think so. It's so funny because. If my parents are listening, and I don't know if they're listening, and I don't know if they can, but I've always wanted to sing, and not always, but it's again funny. A huge part of my life is my spirituality, is my faith in God. I did not start singing until I became a Christian. I sang in choirs when I was little, but it wasn't anything that was a passion to me, but I became a Christian in 1987, which dates me a little bit. Shortly after that I was in a service one day, and I just felt this urge to sing, and I started singing. And I was in my second year of college then. But I think I'm going to go back a little bit. I got gifted with singing, but I always liked singing to the point that when when I was going into college, I actually told my parents that, no, you know, memory is a very fickle thing. I think I got into music, yeah, in my first year of college. And I went back to my parents and said, I don't want to study medicine anymore. I want to be a singer. And they looked at me like I'd grown three heads. You want to be a singer, really? You know, because even before I went into college, I wanted to be a photographer, a linguist, and an ambassador. And my parents were like, photography? What? Linguist? What is that? Ambassador? You will not be the ambassador. You will be the housemaid or the personal assistant to the ambassador. Because at that time, Nigeria was not like it is now. I am so proud of my country and how far we have come and how much our parents have grown and how much parents have grown over the years that, you know, and I don't hold it against my parents because that was the world they knew. That was the world they knew. That was what they understood coming from the 50s and 60s that they grew up in, you know, and giving birth to this 70s baby who is now saying that she wants to be a singer. She doesn't want to go to school to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, accountant, or whatever. It's just like strange, you know. So, yeah, I believe that I believe in destiny. I believe that you are meant to do certain things in life. And even if you end up taking a detour, and this is what I'm going to say for anyone who is younger listening, even if you have to, even if like me, okay, what happened to me was that I got into medical school and I knew that this, I felt that this didn't fit me. And I went up to my professor and I said, can you please tell my dad that I don't want to study medicine anymore? I want to.
Are you serious?
Yes, I did. I did. Professor Ijeomi. And he's one of the wisest people I know. And he didn't poo-poo me and say, yeah, he didn't poo-poo me and say, oh, you know what? Just go and face your book. You're not a serious girl. Your parents have paid money for you to be here. He didn't say that. He said to me, he said, this is what I'm going to tell you. Wait it out for a year. If at the end of the year, you still feel like you don't want to study medicine, I will talk to your father on your behalf and tell him what's on your mind. And of course, that did not happen. Because what happened was that I fell in love with my classmates, first of all. We were very close in the group. I fell absolutely in love with our classmates. We all love each other till today. You know, we had a reunion a few months ago, actually. And it was like we never left medical school. So after that, I got involved with the study so that at the end of the year, I'm like, no, this is it. I'm a medical student. And there's a certain, not pride, but there's a certain kind of family and being proud to be a community of people who are doing this kind of job that, or doing, following this kind of profession that I developed. And so that's how I stayed in medical school. And so that's how I stayed in medical school. I don't want to get too far away from where I'm going. So I'm going to stop for you to redirect me if you have to.
No. Well, I mean, like you said, we're learning from you because, I mean, you answered the question extremely very well. Let me just try and see if we can still get to, because we're going to go on a short musical break very soon. And a lot of people want to know. One of the questions I know that a lot of people, especially the young ones, and which you've answered, is the fact that do you strongly advise that, I always advise that it's always good for you to, you know, seek a profession and then maybe follow a passion. You understand? Because because at the end of the day, you should have a back, something to fall back on.
Whoa. At the end of the day. I don't know if I agree with that, though.
Okay, tell me.
Well, you know, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who are driven by their passion. And there's some people who drive. And there's some people who drive their passion.
Oh, okay.
If you drive your passion, you can pretty much do anything, and find outlet for your passion. Okay. Like for me, I drive my passion, and it's not a superior place. It's actually not as cataclysmic as the other one. You know, I drive my passion because, you know, my passion, I had to actually sit down and find out what is my passion in life, what makes me able to succeed at being a doctor, and what makes me succeed at being a speaker and an author and a singer. And I found out that my passion is not exactly music. My passion is not exactly teaching. My passion is not exactly medicine. My passion is people. And my passion is communicating and inspiring people. And so in whatever way I am expressing at that point, I am always expressing my passion, which is to inspire people to say, you can do more, you can be everything you want to be. So I drive my passion through different outlets. But there's some people who are driven by their passion. And what drives them, what consumes them is their passion. And they have that one outlet. And if you deny them that outlet, they are of no use in another outlet. They will live life at best mediocre. They may be richer. They may be more successful on the surface, but their souls will be starved. So, you know, it's hard for a parent to look at their child and say, the path that you're choosing is going to be a more difficult path for you. But that's, again, where my unconventional Christianity comes in, because I'm not a parent yet, but God teaches me about these things. And he said to me that if you go back to the Bible and you look at all the children that were born to unusual circumstances, like Jesus, like Jacob, like Joseph, God told them who their children was going to be.
They're going to be, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, because these people had a curiosity. I said, this child is different. God, who is this child? Or this child feels different in my womb. Who is this child? So they asked God who these people were going to be, and God told them. And so when God told them, even though they had a different plan for these children from the beginning, they had to yield to God's plan because God had told them. So I wonder how many parents today, instead of telling their children, this is what you are going to become, this is what you are going to do, how many of us have learned to go to God and say, God, who is this child? So if God shows you that this child is an entertainer, he's going to influence many, or he's going to have a life that will satisfy him best as this, when that child comes to you and says, this is what I want to do, your job is now to guide them in that way to be the most successful person they can be in their passion. Because you have an insight that this is a different child. This is a different person. It's not just business as usual with this child. They still need you for guidance. They still need you to teach them. But what if you say, okay, like that's one of the things I love most about America. One of my attendings is a medicine major and a music minor. Medicine major, music minor. So what?
Moshe Bolaton, Moshe Bolaton, Bolaton, Ola Kuseyo, Moshe Bolaton, Moshe Bolaton, Bolaton, Ola Kuseyo, Ojo mi wo, Oko mi ru. Done, down and out, but my God.
so much for that. That was I would actually go and listen to the music myself later, because it sounded really nice. But I think the technical thing was going back and forth. Okay, this is still Real Issues with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And I've been talking to no other than a very good friend and guest of mine. I'm still going to call you by the name. I know you very well. I think
that's
I need to get the old one.
That's fine.
I'm going to call you the full one, Adepero. And I like that because, I mean, someone like me, for example, when I tell people that my name is Lola, they find it very intriguing when I tell them my full name is Olufumilola. And they go, oh, really? You're the first Olufumilola that is not called Funlola. And I'm like, well, I'm just called Lola. And that's just it. So now let's go into your music, okay? I can see you have a very strong passion for it. And it's actually, will I say, very full of messages, okay? What actually inspires you when you sit to, I mean, do you write the music yourself? Let's start from there.
Yes, I do write the music myself, but of course I collaborate with my producer. The intriguing thing about it is that I am not in any way schooled in medicine. Music.
Music.
I'm not schooled in music. I don't know the theory of music. I only hear melodies in my head. And, you know, one of the things that really, really helped me was that I joined the choir in when I graduated from college, from university. I was living in Lagos and I was part of the choir in one of the local churches there. And I had this amazing choir leader. She's just amazing. She's still a good friend till today. And she's also a physician. Our lives are so parallel. It's unbelievable. We both went to the same primary school, Grange. We both went to the same secondary school, Methodist Girls High School. We both studied in Nigerian universities. We both studied, studied medicine. We both are passionate about music. She's passionate about interior decorating and floral arrangements. I'm passionate more about the interior decorating and the furnishings, you know, and we're both passionate about God. As a matter of fact, on Facebook, she just called me her fellow crazy, you know, and we're 8 years apart in age, but we're like very good friends. And she was the one that really, she really challenged me, because I couldn't hear parts. I only sang the melodies, and she would make me listen to tapes. How many of you remember tapes? Tapes over and over again, just to get the melody part, the harmony part of the music. So I'm kind of self and community taught. And so my first song is actually not Moshe Bolata. My first song is a jazzy, bluesy song called I Am She. And it talks about it talks about woman and the femininity. And I struggled a lot with releasing that song, because like one of my friends said, he said, I'm going to be afraid that as a Christian they're going to see this as being too sensual. I'm like, hello, we are sensual people. It's just that our sensuality should be guided by the word of God. And so it talks about I'm she, I'm my perfume, my this, my body, my breasts, my hips. Somebody said, I can't believe you said breasts. I said, women have them. So why can't we say breasts? It just has to be in the most appropriate way, you know? And so that was an adaptation of one of my poems from my book. And it's partly spoken, partly sung, and just a jazzy piece. And the second one, Moshe Bolaton, is a special one to me, because there's no life that is without challenges. And I think this was on a day that I was looking at my life and, you know, looking at it through the lenses of what people expected of me. Like, okay, that I would be married by now, that I would have children by now, things that I thought were normal when I was growing up. And it turns out that I didn't have those at that time. And it wasn't more of children or getting married, but it was a time in my life where I just at that point felt very much isolated and alone. And is this all there is to life? I'm going to be practicing medicine and doing this stuff and that's it. And I was actually praying and just crying before God and saying, God, you know. And the Lord said to me, and that song was actually sung in worship in response to God saying, and for those who do not understand Yoruba, is that I thought it was over, but the Lord was telling me, fall on your knees, pray, and turn your heart towards me, and let me give you what I have for you. Not necessarily what you think I will give you, but what I have for you. But I can assure you to be as satisfying, if not even more satisfying than what you think you have. So that song was birthed out of that. You know, it says, Moshe Bolato, Moshe Bolato, Olauto, Olaku Sehi. And I was telling God, Oju mi wu oko mi ru, mo kepe oluwa mi ude damilon. Moshe Bolato, Olauto, Olaku Sehi. And it's like an injunction to people, say, Mukunle, Dadura, Solonre, Adailun, Agwadre, which means, you know, don't think that it's all over. You know, in that place, instead of getting frustrated, instead of getting angry, instead of getting bitter, instead of marring, people see me all the time and they say, oh, you don't look like you're 51. Yeah, because I don't feel like I'm 51. I don't feel like there's something strange about me. I'm enjoying the life that God has given me, knowing that he has a lot more for me. And whatever he has, good, he always has good stuff in store for me. But whatever happens, he's still with me through it all. And there's nothing that cannot be solved by going on my knees to pray. And I know that he will answer me. So that's how the song came about, Moshe Bolaton. And my new single that's coming out in January is actually a love song. It's actually a Yoruba love song. And the way I get my songs is that it's either through prayer or through just sitting down. And in this case, my brother was saying, all these songs you are singing is not for the Nigerian market. It's not for the Nigerian market. You know, he's saying, you need to sing us some Afrobeat. You need to sing us songs that we can dance to. I say, I'm not an Afrobeat person. I wouldn't even know where to start. But that's where the spirituality comes in. And I was just sitting down one day in Lagos, and I just had these voice, you know, I heard these words. I wrote them down. I had a melody, and I went to my producer, and in 24 hours, we had Rhythm of Your Heart. And so it's coming out in January, still going through the finishing stages of production and fine-tuning everything. But it's an Afrobeat song. It is fast. It is danceable. It is about love, and it's about commitment, and it's beautiful. So that's it. Long answer to short question.
No. I mean, I've not actually been able to take questions today, but I mean, I've been enjoying every little bit of it because you see, without you knowing, I mean, what you've shown, and I'm happy you looked at you've answered the most important question is like, you know, life. Sometimes I say to people, it has no script. We as humans just think there's a script. It has no script. And nobody knows what the book of life is all about. You understand? It's only in the hands of God. He only understands and knows what he's going to do with each and every one of us. But sometimes we need to look at life from different lenses. We need to look at life. And that is what you have done. You've decided to say, okay, you know what? This is what it is. And this is what I'm going to do. You did not decide to sit down and mope about your situation. No. You decided to say, okay, you know what? This is what this is where I am right now. I'm going to make the best of the situation I find myself. And one of your outlets have been music. You understand? You've not allowed yourself to say, okay, because I'm a medical doctor, how would it be seen for me to be producing music? You understand? No. Like you said something about you running along with your passion, and that is what you've done. So if you were to give your last words to our listeners right now, listening to you, you have decided to look at your own life and say, okay, you know what? This is what it is. I'm going to make the best of it. What will you advise people to do generally if they find themselves in such situations?
Okay. I'm going to ask you to clarify that question. Which situation?
Okay. The clarity is there are a lot of people, and I'm going to be very specific. I think I interviewed someone about, I think, 2-3 weeks ago, and she's actually in the same kind of situation. A lot of people are in situations where they're not supposed to, I won't use the word they're not supposed to be where they're not. societal expectations of what they should be. Like, you are 51, people are thinking, okay, you're a medical doctor, you're 51, you're rich, you're this, but you're not married, you don't have kids.
I'm rich? Okay, that's news to me. You want to give me
you say amen.
amen.
Thank you. You say amen. I just prophesied that into you. You
amen.
Understand?
I received that.
Yeah, good. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is that I would say you are the peak of yourself right now, but there's some basic things that society expects from you, but you're not allowing that define who you are. Instead, you're making the best of it. You're moving on because you didn't form yourself, and you're believing that there is more to come. And that is why you sang that song saying you actually thought it was over, but there's more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does, that's why I would say to people, never say never. Never give up.
Oh, never say never. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the question.
The thing is that, you know, my standard has always been the Bible. And, you know, in the Bible, you will find all sorts of people. All sorts of people.
Yeah, you can see that. You can say that again. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can say that again. You can talk about the young lady who got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And it's like, okay, you got pregnant by who? Imagine your daughter coming up to you and saying that she got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there's those kind of people. There's the kind of people like the husband that married her. There's Paul, who never got married. There's Anna, who was married and widowed and spent the rest of her life in the temple waiting for the manifestation of the Messiah. Okay, there's Abigail, there's Nathaniel, there's Peter. You can find yourself in the Word. And that is my advice. Find yourself in the Word. Find who you are in the Word. Like I was with my church group a few minutes ago, and I said, I found out that I'm a Peter. And what every one of the disciples of Jesus mirrors each and every one of the possible characteristics that we could have as people. I'm a Peter. Without God, I am impulsive. Without God, I am hasty. Without God, I am uncontrolled. But with God, I become a stone. I become rock steady. I become a person that can be depended on. You know, we have people like Nathaniel who will not believe until they see. We have people like John, who is the ultimate lover and who was like, you know, I'm the most beloved of all the disciples. Find yourself in the Word. Find who you are in the Word. You know, I'm an Abigail. I'm strong. I'm waiting for the person who, the king of my life that's going to come in, and I have people in my life now that are applying for the position. Praise God. But, but the thing is that find yourself in the Word. Find yourself in the Word, and you will find satisfaction in that. You know, like, and go to God and always take yourself back to God. And I'm speaking as a Christian because I cannot divorce what I do from who I am. First of all,
that's
what you will need to do. You need to find out who you are, because believe it or not, and that's not to say that I don't struggle, but the Lord tells me you can be married and be more alone than you are now. You can be in a relationship and not be as satisfied as you are now. You can be in a relationship and be truly richly satisfied. It's not about where you are. It's about who you are. And when you define who you are, then you can go on to live life, whatever comes your way, because no matter what the circumstances are, you are still yourself. I have a quote from my book, The Voice of One Woman, that the Lord kind of, you know, crystallized in my heart, and it drives me, you know. And I say to people, you know, when you haven't gotten what you think you want, give yourself to what you have. When you haven't gotten what you think you want, give yourself to what
give
you
yourself
have.
To what you are.
And in the and in the process of giving yourself to what you have, what you think you want may, number one, change. What you think you want may come to you. What you think you want may never come to you. But in the process, you have given yourself to what you have, and you would have lived a richer, fuller, better life. You know, this says, when you love who you are, that's the first thing you need to say. Do you love yourself? Because, you know, the Bible says something. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I always tell my patients, if thou dost not love thyself, thou canst not love thy neighbor. So if you're looking to get married, if you're looking to be better, who are you? Do you love yourself? Do you look in the mirror and like the person you see? Do you say to yourself on the way out, bye, Metabel, see you later, I like you? You know, I tell my patients that. It says, when you love who you are and you are passionate about what you do, you will not need a daily alarm clock to propel
to remind you
to start your day. Your passion will awaken you. Your passion will move you. Your passion will motivate you. Your passion will drive you. Your passion will propel you. Your passion will define you. And your passion will inflame you, excite you, fulfill you, strengthen, establish, satisfy, and settle you. That's directly from scripture, by the way. You never get weary. A fire always burns within. So, you know, even if you're looking for something that the world thinks it's a standard, set your own standard and live your own standard. I am grateful to have an amazingly beautiful family. My parents, to this day, they don't bug me and say, when are you getting married? When are you? And that's an advice I have for parents. You know, one day that somebody said that to me, they said, okay, well, I go out and I grab the first person and I'll bring it back to you. Is that okay? You know? So, you know, enjoy yourself. And for the people who are in the lives of these people, enjoy them. You don't know what a gift they are, the way they are to you at this time. So enjoy them. You know,
I know. I mean,
enjoy them.
I wish you know, I wish people go on and on and on. I think we're running completely out of time. But this is really
my passion,
so educating. I think we're one of the same kind. I mean, this is really one of those programs I would have loved for us to go on and on. But like I always say, there's the new platform. It's called Gist House. I think we should take this discussion there, and then we can actually do more very soon. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for your time. Thank you for educating the listeners, and thank you for letting us a little bit into your space. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lola, and I must say that I'm awesomely inspired by you. You know, you talk about I look at you and I say, what a woman just going after what she wants to inspire people. And I celebrate you. I do celebrate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
They're waiting for you, they're waiting on you to die. control.